Live in the Quicken Loans studios, I am Jim Rome. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Third hour, busy, busy hour. It's getaway day for me. I am off tomorrow. Brian Weber is going to be in. The reason I'm off tomorrow is we are headed to Wisconsin once again. The entire Rome family busting out. I will be back on Monday. So lots to get done this weekend and also next week. Meantime, if you want to take a shot, give us a call right now. Toll free nationwide and in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. Later on this hour, Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Detroit Pistons, will be joining us. But right now, we are talking Nevada basketball. We are joined by the head coach at the University of Nevada. He is entering his fourth season with the Wolfpack. He led Nevada to the Sweet 16 last season. He won four Coach of the Year awards last year, including Mountain West Coach of the Year from the coaches in the media. Led Nevada to back-to-back Mountain West regular season titles. Nevada is a number 7 preseason AP poll team. They open up against BYU. It's November 6th on CBS Sports Network right here. You know, I talk about guys being friends of the program. This is a friend of the host of the program. We go way back. Eric Musselman is my guest. Muss, it is great to have you back in the jungle. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. It's awesome to come back in the jungle.
Eric, it is so good to have you here. I've got to ask you, a few days away from the season opener, you and the program are getting a ton of hype, understandably so, deservedly so. So let me first start right there. How is life for the Musses and the Wolfpack?
It's changed dramatically since making a Sweet 16. And obviously, the biggest thing really, Jim, is just how do we get our players to focus on the task at hand? And, when you go from a Sweet 16 and kind of come out of nowhere from a national standpoint, then you have three players put their name in for the NBA draft, and then those three guys come back, the hype train, kind of starts. And it's been a summer with a lot of national people coming in and out, articles and TV things. But having said that, now we got to get down to business. I mean, we have a really difficult game opening night at home against BYU, and then this whole process starts. And I think the biggest thing is, how do you get your student athletes to understand that these games in November carry a ton of weight once you get to Selection Sunday? And that's one of the things that we continually talk to our team about from an educational standpoint with our young student athletes.
Eric Musselman joining us. They open up against BYU on November 6th. Eric, the three guys that you mentioned, Caleb Martin, Cody Martin, Jordan Caroline, they could have all gone to the NBA last season, but they do decide to come back to school. What's it mean to you and the program for them to come back? And then how did you help them navigate that process? You've been in the NBA, you've coached in the NBA, you know what was awaiting them there. How did you approach it with them?
I think that, the biggest thing really, Jim, is Caleb and Cody, both Martin, twins, they had already graduated before they started the process. And so it was really interesting because Caroline was only two classes away, and so he could have been a grad transfer. And so some of my friends in the business were calling and saying, hey, are you going to lose these guys to grad transfer if they come back? And it never even entered our mind. It never even entered the three players' minds. And I think that, that's such a compliment to our university, to the program, that did not come into play with these guys at all. It was either NBA or back to the pack. But what we tried to do, Jim, is every time they went on a workout, we tried to call the NBA team prior to the workout, find out who they were going against, find out exactly or at least what they would tell us that they were going to do in the workout or in the individual meetings that they have with the guys so that we could prepare them for that. And then once the workout was done, not only did I call every team, each of the three assistant coaches were mandated to find somebody on that particular NBA organization that we could get feedback. And so we put together a comprehensive report of what we heard from the NBA people, because obviously the players were asking themselves when they were face-to-face with the NBA people. And so I think that once they saw that we had exact examples of what was said in an interview or exact examples of what had happened, that maybe a coach had put them through a drill and that they had struggled or succeeded at, I think that they understood that what we had was 100% the truth for them. And then they made the decision. Hey, they had an awesome year last year. They loved it. They loved college. And hey, let's go back and try to see if we can take this thing farther than we did last year.
Last year was Sweet 16. This year, they preseason top 10. They open up against BYU. Eric Musselman is the head coach at Nevada. You know, Eric, you and I go back a long, long way, as I mentioned. There was a time when you were choosing between joining the T-Wolves staff and joining the staff at LSU, knowing your respect and love for Flip. I can't imagine that was an easy decision, but you go to the college route instead. Why was that, and did you ever think that it would turn out the way it has?
Well, it was like a career defining moment. Obviously, I had not known Johnny Jones at all, who was then the head coach at LSU. I had never been to Baton Rouge in my life, and LSU had offered the position. Flip Saunders, who had obviously played for my dad, and then we had worked together in the minor leagues, and that was my idol growing up. I wore Flip Saunders' uniform number. I wanted to shoot jump shots like he shot them. His father, Flip's father, actually built me, because his dad was a carpenter, built me my first basket that I ever took shots on when we were living in Ohio. And it was really my wife and my two sons more so than me. I felt the pull to go to Minnesota. You know, I'd lived there at a young age. My dad was the first coach of the Timberwolves. And not only was Flip there as the head coach and part owner and involved in their management, but Sam Mitchell was an assistant coach and Sidney Lowe. And both those guys had played for my father so with the Timberwolves. And so I had Flip calling and Sam and Sidney. And it was really difficult, but I have a strong wife. And she said, hey, look, we spent 2 years at Arizona State. Let's continue down this college path and see where it leads us. And I tried to be realistic, Jim, and say to myself, I don't think that I'm going to get another NBA head job unless I go and be an assistant coach for 5 or 6 years, because I had had two cracks as an NBA head coach. And very few people, when you look at the history of the NBA, ever get a third crack. And so I knew that I wanted to be a head coach again at some level, and we felt that from a family standpoint, that would be the best direction, was to go to the collegiate level.
Eric Musselman joining us. It really is amazing, Eric, the way it's played out. But you kind of willed this thing in a way, the way you always have. Tim Layden wrote a piece for you that's up right now for SI that is an amazing read. And there are very few people in this business that are more respected than Tim Layden, Eric. So when he shows up to profile you, you know good things are happening. One of the focuses on the article was how much your program is a reflection of you and your legendary father, Bill, who we're talking about right now. How much pride do you take in that?
I mean, you know, when I read the article, truth of the matter is I was actually getting a haircut the other day, and I teared up, and I actually got out of the barber chair and said, hey, I got to use a restroom real quick, because I didn't want the barber to see me tearing up. And he did an incredible job, Tim did. And the ironic thing and what makes, I think, the piece so interesting, Jim, is Tim had covered my dad when my dad was coaching the Albany Patroons when he was really young. And when he first came in, he started telling me stories about my dad. And then he went and interviewed a couple of the players. And I called my wife and I said, hey, I don't know how this is going to work out, because my dad got into it with Tim a couple times. But it was a great piece. And I think he really enjoyed the time being around the program. And I think he saw that, like, we're really having fun doing this. And our players are having fun. We're grinding. We're working. But behind closed doors, it really is a true family, and we got each other's backs, and we have fun on a daily basis, and I think that's why our guys play so hard.
You know, I reached out to him, Eric, Tim Layden, and I said, it's a great piece. I've known Eric a long, long time. And he said, yeah, you and your dad, and he texted, or he direct messaged this to me, something along the lines of, they're very, very similar, but Eric's having a lot of fun. The program's having a lot of fun. You know, it's just a different time. But Layden wrote in the piece that there are a few people that really approached it the way your dad did, and that he would stay up late at night and he would text his assistant or call his assistant coaches, that you're similar, but you will text. What is it? You and your dad, I've never seen guys that are so in love with the sport itself. What is that? How do you explain that? And the sport of basketball, what did it mean to you and your dad together?
Well, I mean, that was my bond, you know, growing up, Jim. It was basketball. It was going on road trips. It was, Mom, as soon as school's out, take me to Dad's practice. And you know, so there's just so many hours that, I mean, I remember sitting in Williams Arena for two-hour practice, and then we'd go back to his office. And at that time, it was the old projector film. So I struggle around my house, you know, if I have to screw in a light bulb, I probably can't do it. Basketball is what I love. And I just, you know, my dad was my idol. He was my best friend. I wanted to emulate him. And so all those reasons, I didn't really have any other avenue that I thought that I could turn to. And so it's, I think it's really just a love of the game. And then I think the fun part of it, is really the fact that, I had to reinvent myself. I had to reinvent my career. It was not easy. Obviously, when I was climbing up the ladder and at a young age, coaching 23 years old as a minor league coach, and then you go to the NBA and you're coaching the Warriors, and then you get fired from that. You go do a two-year stint with Memphis, and then you bounce right back with Sacramento as a head job. Up until that point in my life, coaching and everything was really easy. But then when you get fired, you have to reflect and you have to sit back. And there was a time at a very young age where I was saying, I don't know what's going to happen with my career. And so I think being fired really, really humbled me, Jim. And then I always had said, when I get back to that head chair, I'm going to have fun. And I did that with the Lakers D League team, and certainly did it with the teams that I coached internationally, Venezuela and Dominican Republic national team. But now being on a college campus, there's so much more than just wins and losses. And I don't know if I would have had this much fun 10 or 15 years ago.
Eric Musselman, my guest. It's a whole different animal on the college level. Look, Eric, I know you as much as anybody is just locked in on what you have to get done right now, day to day, hour to hour, practice to practice. So what about the NBA? Is it still in the back of your mind, or could you see yourself coaching college for the rest of your career?
Yeah, I could, Jim. I love where I'm at. I love a 30-game season. You know, player at this stage of my career or life or whatever, like player development, seeing guys get better. You know, like our guys this year, they have to get better, or else we're not doing a good enough coaching job, whether it's a three-point shooter who increases his three-point percentage by 8 percentage points, or whether it's a guy who's struggling from the foul line. Our job is to make these guys better basketball players. And at the pro level, it's more of a you got to improve them, but it's more of a scheme thing. And the 82-season grind, and I love going to our football games. I love hanging out with our baseball coach. And it's just a more family-oriented situation. But, yeah, competitively, we are grinding. And along with the fun, it's all about, you know, how do we win the next game? And I think that there's so much about coaching and leadership that you want to continue to learn on a daily basis as well.
Eric, last night you've talked a lot about family. You mentioned that your dad was your idol, your dad was your best friend. Family's that important. I can remember when you took some time away from it and you stayed home and you coached your kids' AAU teams. All of a sudden now your son Michael is a graduate assistant with you. What's that experience been like for both of you?
We'd have to stick him on the phone to find out his version of it.
right?
But my version of it is I walked in the other day, I sat at my desk, I worked for about 5 minutes, and I said, holy smokes, my son is in the other room, and I didn't even say good morning to him.
Right.
But it's incredible. I think that, you know, I got divorced, was not with my son 7 days a week. It affects you. This is now, you know, time that was lost. And when you're coaching and you're traveling, you automatically lose games. I was not at every one of his high school games. But now I'm able to be with him every single day. He's traveling. He's learning, you know, the craft of coaching. I think he's loving it. It's in our blood. And, you know, the 1 year that I worked with my dad with the Timberwolves, the greatest year that I've ever had, now that he's gone and he's no longer with us. And so hopefully many, many years from now, my son will be able to remember this. Hopefully his you know, evaluation of the situation is at least similar to what I'm having.
Eric, I'm trying to let you go, but a final thought. So if Bill were still around, I mean, would he be blowing you up all night long, talking you through this? Would you put him on the staff? And what would he make of what you've done at Nevada?
Well, you know, it's so interesting because I, you know, here's this, you know, coach that I've had on this pedestal, you know, my whole life. And, you know, his teams at the University of Minnesota, they won Big Ten championships, but they never made a Sweet 16. And then they weren't, to my knowledge, ranked in the top seven in the country at any point. And so I think back and I'm like, I can't believe this is happening, because this guy that I thought was the world's greatest coach, we're kind of doing stuff that didn't happen with him. And it's been such an incredible ride. But when I was coaching, when I first started my career, my dad would come to practice, and he would inevitably every day that he was at a practice would say, "Hey, can I talk to your team for a couple minutes?" And that, I thought a couple minutes meant a couple minutes, and it would go on for 30 minutes. But he taught me so much energy, effort, enthusiasm, and I'm sure that he would be blowing me up even at halftime of games with text messages on things that I'm screwing up. And I know for a fact that he's looking down and saying, "Why do you guys take so many stupid three-point shots, and why are you trying to play so fast?" Because his teams were the exact opposite philosophically.
It starts once again on November 6th. In fact, it's going to be right here on CBS Sports Network. Nevada is going up against BYU, a tough opening matchup. They are ranked number 7 in the preseason AP poll. They're coming off a Sweet 16 season. You know, Eric, you and I mean, we could have this conversation for another hour easy. One day you got to come on the podcast. We can really stretch it out, but I don't even know what to say. I mean, we do go way, way back. I know what you've put into this. I know how you rebuilt yourself. I know how you reinvented yourself. It is amazing to see what you and that program is getting done there in Nevada. So I know it's a big year for you. Always good to have you on, Eric. Great to get caught up.
JR, thanks for having me. I'd love to come on the podcast. I can't thank you enough for the friendship. I mean, all these years, it's been a I don't know how many years I've come on with you, and it's such great exposure for our program. And can't thank you enough for the friendship.
Eric, I'd say the same about you, and it's great exposure for us as well. But I can tell you how long. When you were 23 and the coach and the GM of the Rapid City Throwers, I called you from Santa Barbara when I first got my break. You were one of the first guys I ever interviewed, so you and I truly did come up together, and you were always great then too. So I appreciate the friendship very much. Eric, great to have you back.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Take care, bud. Eric Musselman. And to this day, I've never seen a guy who worked like Eric Musselman. I mean, all coaches work. You don't get to that level without working. I've never seen a guy grind the way Eric Musselman has, and this goes back decades. He always worked like that, always approached it, was always fierce, always determined, always ambitious, always working a plan. And, you know, I would say this about Eric. We all change. I think he is really transparent, really candid, really transparent, and has done a lot of self. He's got great self-awareness. Like, I know what I do well. I know what I had to work on. I know what got me into trouble in the past. I know where I had to improve. I mean, the fact that he has reinvented himself and built the monster that he has built at Nevada is incredible. They've won 80-plus games over the past 3 years, but when he got there, they had won just 36 games in 3 seasons. And now they're top 10, getting national profiles, and a lot of people are looking at them as a Final Four team. When we return, ran kind of fat there, so we'll have a short segment. And then Dwayne Casey at the bottom. There is something to be said for being the best. You know, when you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition. Elite athletes know that you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. And if you want to compete at the highest level, you've got to be strong. You've got to stay strong, like Castrol Edge. The strongest full synthetic motor oil, engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power robbing friction and to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? Imagine then being lined up across the ball from somebody who's at 100% when you're at maybe 90%. It's going to go badly for you. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure. It reduces friction, so your engine can perform at its highest level. It's not only strong. In fact, it's 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. I would not just say that. It's a fact. It was proven in the Kurt Orban test.
Kurt Orban.
The strength your engine needs to perform at the highest level and keep you living on the edge. Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure with Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, my thanks to Eric Musselman. Could not be any more proud and impressed with what he's done. How many people do the kind of self-scouting and analysis on themselves personally and professionally? This guy's extremely self-aware. Always been very, very bright and very motivated. But again, to see him reinvent and build what he's built in Nevada is incredible to see. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Pistons head coach Dwayne Casey is going to join me on the back end. I've got a short segment, but I do have enough time for Alvin DeLauro's 4 days that were.
That's a heck of an intro.
So that's how I feel about it.
What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is awesome to be with you on a Monday. Had a great weekend commute, L.A. to New York and back to L.A. Great time. And now I'm back in SoCal with a lot to get done. Boston Red Sox are your world champions.
World champions!
Yeah! Boston was the tougher team. Boston was way more clutch. That's why they're world champions. And now the franchise that couldn't win Jack forever has now won it all four times in the last 15 years. How do you like them apples? Jack, up in NoCal.
I would pay $1 million to get into a room with Clayton Kershaw and spray him in the face with a full can of mace.
None of you have $1 million.
Cal Ripken, fuck.
Email.
We are the champions. Take your silicone-filled cheeks and chest and blow it out your pant legs, losers.
Hashtag.
National Cat Day. Sean Merriman joins me in studios. The World Bare Knuckle Fighting Federation.
Yeah.
What do you like about this?
You know, I'm from PG County, Maryland. This is Harley my first.
You've been in fights before?
Yeah. I throw down a little
he's
bit.
He's got a lane. He slows down. He stays inbounds. And he's
nobody gives a damn about your bad beat. Like nobody gives a damn how Gurley just did you.
Forget fantasy and forget Vegas.
He doesn't care about you winning your bet. He cares about winning a game for his team.
How about Todd Gurley?
We're joined by Dave Winfield.
Bad guys throwing with great velocity. Intent. I'm sorry. Hopefully someone else will pick up the other line.
Man, only a few weeks back, I was calling the Browns America's team.
Move over, Jerry Jones.
Cleveland
Browns are America's team.
And I meant it. But when it goes fast. I don't want to say this, but Cleveland, you suck again.
Suck it, you suck.
I'm an apology. I think he's going to be
You brought it all back. You brought it all back and made it 10 times worse. Do not pick fights that you cannot win. Especially, do not pick fights with NBA Twitter.
It's a platform for people that are sitting home throwing an unemployment check, sitting in front of a keyboard.
I mean, I don't know if anything will run down. Fat, but Gundy making that sound during that presser on Saturday may be the next best thing.
Touchdown!
Patriots are the obvious winners, and the poor refs who have to dribble sex toys off the field with their feet are the obvious losers. If this team were competitive, the Bills Mafia would be using their sex toys the way they're supposed to be used and not throwing them on the field.
It's a little frustrating not being where we thought we would be as a team, but it's perfect for us because our bye comes directly in the midpoint of our season. Really optimistic about in these other eight games.
Talking about the tacos and taking a 99-minute dump. Man, we're not going to do that.
Pack of chalupas.
If you're over the age of 12 and dress up for Halloween, you're a grade A, world-class loser.
Mike Mitchell is my guest. Le'Veon's teammates.
To answer your question, should another man be speaking about someone else's money? No. But to talk about the character of those guys, I know that they legitimately care about one another. I think sometimes, you know, the media can, you know what they do.
This is RPO.
That's easy. I mean, I think a blind man can see that. Green Bay in a thumper. Easily Green Bay cover.
The Packers have come from behind to win.
Emailed. Well, thank God the pot is free. Because Trevor isn't worth the price. Come AV Lewis coming up this weekend, UFC 230.
Let me correct that. I want to fight a bull. I just have to measure which one means more to me right now.
Can you measure that yet? Do you know the answer to that question?
You know, competitively, obviously, it's Jones. But financially, you know, Lesnar brings a dollar.
We believe that Coach Durkin has been unfairly blamed for the
A 19-year-old kid is dead, but the coach who oversaw the culture, which produced that, is the victim? And if it sounds like I'm pissed, it's because I am. And I'm shocked that everybody's not. Gardner Minshew is my guest.
The power of the sash is unparalleled. It has a life of its own.
Who are some of the mustaches that came before you that you respected?
The greatest of all time of mustaches, my personal icon, Burt Reynolds, rest in peace.
He is the gold standard when it comes to mustaches.
Pretty scary stuff, right? If you want to be left undisturbed tonight, drop that mix on your phone. Get connected to a Bluetooth speaker. Blast that thing out on your front doorstep. Nobody comes within 50 feet of your house.
A phantom pregnancy is actually a real pregnancy, but you have
is
a phantom.
Is Ghosty happy? Casper's always happy.
If you ever get invited to another smack off, how about not using your dumb phone?
Email.
You're looking at a high of 50. I'm looking at a guy of 73. Miss American Pie. How's that going to work? When you're 70, he's going to be 120. Wait a minute, Rome. What's up? Look at a calendar, Rome. It's not Friday. It's Thursday. It is not Friday. Well, it is for me, clones. At about 4 a.m., a couple of times a week, I'm getting these crazy cramps in my calf. Like, I feel like I took a shotgun blast to my calf. Someone call someone! Because Rome is walking around with a limp.
You know, you could just have to take a big dump.
There it is.
You have a big dump.
I knew he'd pay it off at some point.
He's looking down and saying, why do you guys take so many stupid three-point shots, and why are you trying to play so fast?
Sincerely.
Normal-ass regular person.
Cody the Ragdoll.
No shit. I got a lozenge, bitch.
Sucker-free 2019.
Should I say in contrast?
Your ass will be mine.
It's a mic drop right there.
Weber, be careful. Be really
Brad.
Careful.
Appreciate it, Jim.
Four of them. I didn't even have to show up.
Can't thank you enough for the friendship.
Have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
Damn, Alvin, why don't you grow up?
Good night now!
Alvin's 4 days that were better than any of his 5 days that were, and his 5 days that were still the best segment of the week. Nice job, Alvin. When we come back, last segment, Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Pistons, joins us, and we will wrap this thing. Brian Weber's in tomorrow. How about a sports update? Are you... Let's get right to it. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Last segment of the week for me. Brian Weber in tomorrow. We're talking Pistons basketball. We're joined by the head coach of the Detroit Pistons. He is in his first season in that capacity, an NBA Coach of the Year. He led Toronto to four divisional titles, five straight playoff appearances. Detroit's 4-3 on the season. They're at Philadelphia on Saturday. We are joined by Dwayne Casey. Dwayne, so good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Dwayne, how about you? How are things?
I'm doing well. After had a tough loss in Boston the other night by three and last night by one in overtime. So a tough couple of nights, but I like the way our team is competing, putting everything into it. We're just trying to get familiar with each other and get our rhythm, timing, and understanding of what we're trying to do. But I like our team very much. And I love the way, you know, Blake's playing at an all-pro level right now. And again, just, you know, getting the rhythm with guys around him offensively and the way we want to get things done.
All right, so tough and interesting stuff right there. Dwayne Casey's my guest. So you won your first four games. You mentioned you dropped a couple of tough ones. You know, it's still so early in the season. How would you describe where this team is at right now?
Well, the thing is, you know, we're getting to know each other under duress, in adverse situations. Blake is playing at a high level. I think that's been shown. I think he had 50 against Philadelphia. But the main thing is how do we get a rhythm playing with each other? And we're building it. Like you said, Jim, it's early in the season. I think we're a work in progress. It's something that offensively understanding, getting a mixture of playing inside out, make sure we're utilizing the three-point shot in the right way, moving the basketball. And again, all that takes time. You know, it was summertime basketball is one thing, exhibition is one thing, but when it's for real, you know, it's a time when you're trying to get execute and get things done under pressure.
We're talking to Dwayne Casey. Dwayne, I would imagine you want to get to know your guys as quickly as you can. I mean, you can't rush it, but you did your work before you came in. And shortly before camp, you had a team dinner, and you gave each player laminated cards, and you had them read those cards out loud. What were on the cards, and what did you want the players to read, or why did you want them to read it out loud? What was the purpose behind that exercise?
Well, one thing that I've learned over the years, Jim, and I did the same thing in Toronto and in Minnesota and different places, is the fact that once you do that, each player and his teammates understand their roles. You know, you just don't bring a player in the office and say, hey, look, Andre, I want you to be an elite roller, finisher at the rim, a rim protector, maybe one or two three-point shots per game, opportunity threes. then nobody else understands why he's taking that three-point shot. But when he gets up in front of the team and announces his role in front of the team, then everybody has a clear and consistent understanding about what he can do as a teammate, as a player, and what his role is on the team. So I found the role cards to be very important. And one thing that irks me as a coach, and I think you can ask any coach, is when a player says, I don't understand my role. So I want to make sure each player understands his role. And it may change. It may change to a bigger role on the team. But for us to win, for the Detroit Pistons to win, that's the role he has to have and be the MVP in that role.
You know, and then any player worth his salt would want the exact same thing, right, Dwayne? I mean, they might not like what you have to say, right. But they want to know exactly where they stand.
Exactly. And I think each player understands that. I've never seen a player yet that doesn't want more. And like I said, if you want to be a three-point shooter and put that on your roll card, work on it. Get where your shot is consistent, where you're knocking it down. If you want more playing time, get your butt out there and work hard in practice. And when you do get your opportunity in the game, make sure you come in and have an impact. So those roles are not in concrete. They can increase. And if a guy struggles in a certain area in his role, we'll pull it down. But most of the time, guys accept their roles once everybody understands where they stand on the team and in those roles.
Pistons head coach Dwayne Casey joining us once again. You know, it's a two-way street. You and your staff did your homework on these players, but some of these players did their homework on you, including Ish Smith. He told The Athletic that the moment he heard you were going to be the head coach, he started to study clips from your Toronto teams to get ready. He said early on when you guys spoke, he was asking you about Gary Payton and then how you and the Mavericks went with a couple of point guards in Jason Kidd and J.J. Barea. What were the conversations like for you, and what did it tell you about Ish that he was hitting you with all those topics and questions?
Those are great questions, Jim, and the fact that he did his homework, he understood we ran the same offense that we ran in Dallas and Toronto and close to it, what we call the flow and moving the basketball. So he understood exactly what we were doing, what Jason Kidd did as a point guard, what Gary Payton did as a point guard, what we did in Toronto with Kyle Lowry. He understood that. He had studied that. And he put himself in that same role. He started working on different pick and roll actions that we ran in those places. So that just showed me he was dedicated. And again, I kind of went around to each player this summer talking to each player. And again, Blake Griffin, he was very scientific in his approach to his workouts. He hired a bunch of guys in L.A. to come in and simulate situations. And the reason why his ball handling has gotten so good is the fact that he put himself in those situations, handling the basketball, making decisions, playing more on the perimeter in a controlled environment that he put together. So he came in the season, as a lot of our guys did, prepared and ready to go. Again, our thing is now we under adversity how do we kind of blend in together, get a rhythm, get used to each other, because this group was only together for four games last year under Stan Van Gundy. So we're relatively new to myself and also to each other.
Dwayne Casey joining me for a few more moments. You know, in terms of Blake Griffin, you were saying early on that you were looking to empower him to expand his game, similar to the way that you were able to do with DeMar DeRozan. So what's it been like working with Blake?
It's been great. I tell you what, he's such a competitor. He's a perfectionist. He wants things to be right. He gets himself going. He puts his emotions on his shirt sleeve. But he's made a great transition of handling the basketball and making decisions. The key is now everyone has to kind of accept that and buy into that and accept their roles. And it's tough for Reggie Jackson, because he's been such a dominant point guard with the basketball, down the clutch, down the stretch of games. And now it's the same thing that happened to us in Toronto, taking the ball out of Lowry's hand, putting it into DeRozan's hand, it's a rhythm. He'll get used to it. And, again, it takes time for that to blend in. But when it does, it's going to be a beautiful thing. But Blake has done a heck of a job of running the offense from a point forward position. We've been running pick and rolls with him, with our big guy. And he's really mastered it well. And also, too, what's improved with him also, Jim, is his three-point shooting. So all that together is going to help us as a team, and now we just got to get everybody else built in and blended in around him.
We're talking to Dwayne Casey. Dwayne, you mentioned Gary Payton. He's going to be on my podcast next week. Mm-hmm. And I haven't spoken to the Glove in a little while, but I can remember when I came up, he was one of the first guys I interviewed on TV. Man, there was just something different about the Glove. He was a really, really different cat. And point guards are it anyway. Mm-hmm. What made him different? And how would you, and you've been around some of the best to ever do it. Right. How would you compare him to some of the best that you've been around?
Jim, one thing with Gary, he's such a competitor, and he's street smart. Gary is such a his basketball IQ was off the charts. George would be sitting there talking to the team, and Gary would be kind of looking out the window, looking around, and act like he's not paying attention. And he could repeat verbatim what George would say. So his basketball IQ, his understanding of exactly what was going on the court, what he had to do. That's we used him in the low post in Seattle at the time, and but he knew every job of each player on the floor, what they had to do, where they should be. A lot like LeBron James. I think LeBron reminds me a lot of Gary, talking on the floor, telling everybody where to go, knowing everybody's job. So he was a basketball savant on the floor, along with his toughness, and that's a great combination.
That's kind of that Bay Area thing, right? That Oakland Bay Area. You can talk.
It's funny, Jim, because talking to Jason Kidd, Jason idolized Gary growing up, and all those guys are from that Bay Area and those point guards. And you look at Damon Lillard, all those guys. It's something about the water in Oakland that is good for point guards.
Like my man Brian Shaw from UC Santa Barbara.
Oh, yes.
J.R. Ryder, right?
Yes. Bunch of guys.
Dwayne Casey, head basketball coach at Detroit, and he is an NBA coach of the year. Had a great, great run in Toronto and doing his thing with Detroit. Dwayne, so good to have you back. Always appreciate you and the conversation. Great talking basketball with you, Coach.
Anytime, Jim, and have fun, and anytime you want to call, love to talking with you.
Love it. We'll do it again soon. Dwayne Casey, my guest. Appreciate you. Dwayne Casey coming in. Good day. Eric Musselman, Dwayne Casey, Chris Mannix. Got your clones in here. Again, I'm off tomorrow. Sorry about that. But the Rome family is going to Wisconsin yet again. Multiple trips to Wisco. So I'll be looking for some of you clones this weekend. We'll be at the Badger game. Wisco, Wisconsin, and Rutgers. And we're all ready. Got our hand warmers, foot warmers, a high of 50, a little bit of rain. It's going to be good. Huge call today brought to you by Ferguson. No matter how big or small your team is, Ferguson has a winning game plan for pro contractors with thousands of plumbing repair parts, knowledgeable associates, and the largest national footprint in the game. When their pressure is on, count on Ferguson. We've got time for a phone call. Let's go to 12 Wood. Look at the Wood Man going there right now. Yo, Wood, what's up, kid? How you doing?
Jimmy, how are you, bud?
So how's the show going? Now, are you going every other week now?
We're going every week now. We had a little month or two where we did every other week because my crew is like, they have their families. I have to, respect that. So this weekend we got Scotty Farrell on.
Oh, hell yes. Dude, really? Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So well, how are you going to approach that? Do you know? You're talking to a legend in Scotty Farrell. Do you know how you're going to approach that one?
How am I going to approach it? Talk about his history. Talk about his relationship with you, his relationship with, Mancow and Stern and his current show. I know he's going to be on Westwood One again. And, talk to him about his whole history. It's going to be fun.
Hey, bro, is it going to take you 15 minutes to get to your first question with him like it did me? Just kidding, bro.
I'm going to bring a brown paper bag in advance so that I'm ready
into
to go.
It. Dude, yeah. ask Scotty. Here's something for you. Ask him about the time he and I came together, and I came on his show in studio way back in the day. That's a good story.
We'll do that.
All right, listen, good job, Wood. I got no problem saying the Wood Scopes is back with Scotty Farrell.
Fat ass.
Love it. Dwayne Casey, Eric Musselman, Chris Mannix. Check out the Wood Scopes every Friday night. Scotty Farrell is coming on. Brian Weber is in tomorrow. Godspeed, bro. Not for the clones, but for Brad and Corona. I got to think he's coming for you. He'll handle that. Brian Weber knows this thing backwards and forwards. He's a pro. My thanks to the XR4TI, Wisconsin. Look for you this weekend. If you're in and around the game, we'll see you then. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and I will be right back here on Monday. We're out.
Have a nice day.